Welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to go to the full phones and your phone calls. Dayana Yoakum, welcome.
Thank you, David.
Our resident personal finance expert here at the Motley Fool, here with me to take your calls, 866-NPR-FOOL is the phone number. To Lexington, Kentucky we go. Selma is on the line. Selma, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What's on your mind this weekend?
Well, I just have a question. I know that you all talk about Krispy Kreme quite a bit.
Yes. It's painful for me in particular because, unfortunately, I recommended that stock.
Well, I have a question. I grew up in the South, and I currently live in the South, and I used to travel to New York, once a month for 15 years. And when Krispy Kreme got to the Northeast, that's when it seemed to really take off, and it was the biggest buzz. Oh, you've got to try this, you've got to try this, you've got to try this. So my question is, did some stockbrokers finally, who've never left, who've gone south of the Mason-Dixon line, find this product, think that they discovered it, and hype it so much that it went through the roof?
You know, it's a very good question. There's a whole bunch of chapters to the Krispy Kreme story. Just the overview to start with, the company finally did come public after decades of being just a really kind of a small company that was better known in the South. It came public in the year 2000, and split adjusted, it came public around $10 a share today. Went as high as 50 in the summer of 2003, and some people are asking, is this company going to go bankrupt? So we have to ask ourselves, how did a company that seemed like a good old-fashioned American business with a well-known brand that was appreciated debut, go up 5 times in value in 3 years, and then 3 years later, have a threatened existence in the public markets? And you're asking somebody, you know, was it Wall Street? I think that's what you're asking. Am I right?
Well, to some degree, yes. I mean, I know that financial reports are, you know, what companies live and die on. But was it hyped so much that it got overvalued because these people thought that it was the best thing in the world?
Okay, those are very fair questions. Let me clear the air of a few things. I don't believe that this was Wall Street's fault in any way, shape, or form. I really believe that it wasn't really the product's fault either. I think the product is mostly the same product that everybody's eaten for a few decades. What I do believe primarily is that it was the fault of management. I believe that this company was very poorly managed. In fact, it may have even been criminally mismanaged. There are a number of shareholder lawsuits out there today. This was a company that I think kept trying to beat Wall Street's expectations. So there's where Wall Street comes in. But in the process of doing so, began to misaccount for itself and started shuttling donuts around in ways that were questionable on the financial statements and also in a way questionable for the consumer experience.
Mm-hmm. Selma, have you noticed that you can now buy Krispy Kreme donuts in like Target?
Right.
You see it boxed. It's not the, you know, hot, fresh donuts here. It's packaged, cold, crunchy donuts here.
And that's a great point. I was talking with a friend the other day about the customer experience. And, you know, a company like Starbucks is world class when it comes to customer experience. We all know Starbucks takes pride in grinding the coffee right there for you. There's the smell. They have very carefully thought through every step that you take from when you open the door of your local Starbucks, go in, and then walk out. They've thought it all through. I think part of the Krispy Kreme experience, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Selma, was that hot donuts, that neon glazed donut sign in the window.
When the light's on, you get an extra one free.
That's right. But I think what happened is that they began to compromise that experience some. You would start to find them not necessarily hot, and they'd start opening outlets. There was one here in Washington, D.C. at DuPont Circle that really didn't have the whole hot donut experience. They were just applying the glaze. So I think that it would be somewhat analogous to if Starbucks just started saying, you know what, we're just going to pour the coffee into some vats, truck it over there, and that's going to be the experience. As you walk in, we've already got the coffee for you. I think that takes something away from the experience that people have.
Right.
But you know what? There's another thing that was happening at the same time, and this is something I believe that Krispy Kreme management kept citing, was the low-carb craze.
That is true.
Did you have experience with that, Selma? Were you cutting out carbs? Did you buy into that whole lifestyle change?
Yes, but I think if somebody wants a donut, they want a donut. I think everybody has kids. I don't think they denied their children a donut because they were watching their carbs.
Right.
They might have.
Right. Well, I think that the street didn't believe that either.
maybe one more thing to point out about Krispy Kreme is that the franchise business model, whereby, you know, it has lots of non-company stores where it's selling the rights to opening Krispy Kremes to other companies.
Right.
That was a big part of the growth story, is they really ramped it up. You know, Krispy Kreme, when we had Scott Livengood, the CEO, on the show a few times, they would talk about their long history. But the reality was, really, as more of a national brand, it was only really very relatively recently that Krispy Kreme began to expand well outside the South. And I think over the course of that process, it began to sell franchises and franchise rights to different players out there. And it was always a very rosy announcement when that was going on. And you heard good numbers, and you heard about Scott Livengood came on the show, talked about those long lines that these new stores would be greeted with on the first day that they debuted. But the reality was that many of these franchises were not doing that well. And that's what was largely hidden from me as an investor, somebody who actually recommended Krispy Kreme
right.
stock, and certainly people who bought the stock and watched it lose more than half its value over the course of the last few years. So that's really the still largely not wholly told part of the Krispy Kreme story, and we'll see whether or not there was actual criminal mismanagement going on here. But in the end, Selma, I think the story is one of very poor management.
And we'd be happy to kick Wall Street in the shins if they deserved it. But in this case, it's probably not the case.
We've done that before. And mm-hmm. Let me say, I'm also happy to kick myself in the shins because I did recommend this stock.
And I too, David. And probably Selma is going to be waiting outside.
One final investor note then is that it is helpful if you're going to be a stock market investor, something I've done all my life and will always do. For the rest of my life, is that you need to own a bunch of different stocks. I mean, I'd hate to think anybody would put a lot into one stock. And, you know, Krispy Kreme may seem like the steady Eddie of your portfolio, but the reality is even steady Eddie sometimes ends up being Eddie Haskell.
Correct.
Selma, are you still eating Krispy Kreme, or have we convinced you to switch to Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I quit eating donuts several years ago. But my son still loves them, so it is a stop.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I ate a Krispy Kreme donut yesterday. I'll keep eating them. I also like Ben & Jerry's, even though they've been acquired by Unilever. I mean, there's the consumer product, and then there's the stock, the company behind it, and its stock. And each of these things deserves a little bit of research if you're going to become a part owner.
Right.
So that's a final stock market note for you. By the way, shares of Krispy Kreme began their decline around the time that you stopped eating Krispy Kreme donuts, Selma, a few years ago.
So, well, I hope I wasn't the cause of the demise.
There may be a Selma indicator going on here. Selma, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate
it.
Great opportunity to talk about a company that everyone's heard of, Dayana, but unfortunately a stock that many of us wish we'd never heard of. Thank you, Selma.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have this week for the Fool Phones. The Fool Phone Lines are always open for your financial questions and comments.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL.
Dayana, thank you again.
Thank you, David.
Till next week.
All right.